king of sports books, comes the king of sports podcasts. Unleashed. Presented by BetMGM. Here's your hosts, Giannis Pappas and Olivia Harlan Decker.
Welcome back to another week of Unleashed from BetMGM. I'm Olivia Harlan Decker with my co-host Giannis Pappas. Gianni, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited about today's show, college football. I'm just here to learn.
Well, there's a lot to learn because this is the season of change, my friend. But I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like cold hard cash?
I love cold hard cash.
Okay. We have that in common because this week we are giving away $500 and it's the final week of it. We're going to announce it on next week's show. And it's really easy, you guys. This is for all of our listeners. Just go on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, but you have to go to Apple for this one and leave a review. Gianni and I are going to pick our favorite three and we're going to be unbiased, right? Like even if it's bad about us, we can still pick it.
Absolutely. Here's the deal. You guys better jump on this. You get $500 in MGM credit, and I have created about 100 fake screen names, and I am just leaving reviews because I want to win it. So
I thought I saw some that were complimenting your figure and your hair. Now that makes sense. Okay.
The ones talking about me looking good and being very handsome, those are the suspicious ones.
I love it. So just again, go to Apple Podcast, Unleashed by BetMGM, leave a review. We're going to pick three. So three of y'all will win. Check it out. We wanted to make sure you heard that at the beginning of the show. Later in the show, we're going to announce some other games we have coming up this whole football season. So make sure you hear the end because we are not done giving away money. We want you to come back and listen and hang out with us. And then we are going to reward you for being our friends. I feel like I'm in a sorority again and give you cash.
Were you in a sorority?
Well, don't you think so?
Absolutely. You got sorority vibe all over you. I just never asked. Yeah. What was it? Phi Sig?
Kappa Delta, baby.
Kappa Delta. We are the Kappa Deltas. Did you have songs? Did you
Should
have to learn?
Should I also tell you I was a cheerleader?
I knew that okay. When I read your Wikipedia. Okay. I know. You are totally like the female Jake Paul. You can do it all. I mean, you can sing, you can cheerlead, you can field goal kick, you can sports report.
Yep.
I mean, I assume you can ride horses because you just look like...
I can.
Yes. See, I know you.
I wish I was as rich as Jake Paul. I got to start working on my marketing scheme because he is good.
But all you got to do is box Rachel Nichols.
I'm going to leave that one right where you put it, my friend. Hey, look, I was a cheerleader. I love college football because I love the pageantry. I love the band. I love the cheerleaders. I love the alma mater-ness of it. It's just so much fun. So I love week one college football. We are going to get into the weeds there and we're going to bring in the host of the Daily Tip, Chelsea Messenger. We're going to go over betting lines with her. So she's going to give you tons of advice. Y'all, she is good. She is so sharp. You want to listen to what she says. And then we're going to help you perfectly craft your football fantasy team. And we're going to bring in ESPN's NFL draft analyst, Matt Miller. He is fantastic. Make sure you're taking notes. We're just here to serve, right, Giannis? We're helping people out.
We're here to give you tips. We want you to win some cold, hard cash. I like the way you said that. Cold, hard cash. So we got all the betting tips coming for college football. We got your fantasy help. I mean, we're giving it all away and we want to help you make some money.
Yeah, baby. Okay, let's get into college football because this is the season of change. Holy cow, there is so much to go over. Let's start with conferences. So you said you don't know much about college football. Let me just give you a quick preview. There are five major conferences and it's called the Power Five. And then there are five kind of second tier conferences in historical context called Group of Five. So you got P5 and G5. You with me?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Cool. And that's just more for abbreviations purposes. So we're mostly going to focus on Power Five on this podcast as we look at betting lines. But I will tell you, if you are a true college football fan, you're going to want to bet on some of those Group of Five matchups because some crazy things happen in those games. But let me play this out for you. The SEC is king, always been king. And I know I'm biased because I went to UGA, but it's just the truth. And in July, Oklahoma and Texas, who are part of the Big 12, they said, yeah, we're done here. We want to go hang out with the cool kid table. And they accepted invitations to the SEC. This is supposed to happen in 2025. So much ado right now. They are still in the Big 12 for now. But in 2025 is the target year that OU and Texas are going to the SEC, which now expands them to 16 teams. You can only imagine, Giannis, the domino effect this had. So get ready because this gets confusing, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You're very quiet now.
Because I'm just taking it in. Right now, I am in learning mode, which
perfect.
I have ADD, so make it fun.
And make it quick, apparently. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So after this happens, everyone freaks out, especially the Big 12, because now they have lost some of their biggest properties. OU and Texas are kind of it as far as, oh, and our producer is a West Virginia guy. He's going to be mad I said that. But that's kind of it with the Big 12. And now there's an alliance going on between the Pac-12 out west, the Big 10 in the Midwest, and the Big 12. And really, it's all about TV deals. I know this because I've worked for multiple networks, and I know the conversations that are had. Moving forward, all TV rights owned by those three conferences, it's all Fox and their offshoot networks. So in order to keep ratings up and be competitive against ESPN, who has the college football playoff rights and the national championship rights, that's really the big value in terms of marketing and advertising dollars. So talks of these three conferences who are kind of getting left in the dust, they've decided they could potentially combat this by playing an 8-game conference schedule and then 2 games against each other. So that means you'd have 8 games, you know, in the Big 12, whatever, and then you'd have 2, one against Pac-12, Big 10. So you could have Clemson playing their conference schedule, which more or less is not too challenging. And then they could play Wisconsin. They could play Ohio State. Then they could go play Oregon. They could go play Arizona State. So that's exciting. I think that's really good. But you can see already how messy this can get, right?
Absolutely. That was such a great explanation. That was a little, that was very behind the scenes and informative.
Yeah.
And always follow the money.
Follow the cold hard cash. Okay, well, this also has implications because before this, things were really ramping up with an expanded playoff. This is the 8th year of the 4-team playoff. So college football's been around over 150 years. It took about 140 years of those to even get a playoff. Things move slowly in college football. Let me just put it that way. So the fact that all of this is happening in 2021 is pretty bizarre, but I think it's going to slow down the conversations of this expanded 12-team playoff, which everyone was really hot on for the last year, 2 years or so. And here's why. Because we found out it has to be a unanimous vote from this deciding board, you know, and whoever that is. But we do know from some interviews that have leaked and whatnot that there are people very against it. So we know it's not going to pass because we know it won't be unanimous. So the expanded playoff doesn't look too soon to me. Another big change in 2021 is name, image, likeness, NIL. I know you've heard of this. It's the first year it was allowed as of July 1, and players like Spencer Rattler, the Oklahoma quarterback, who's a Heisman favorite, Bryce Young, the Alabama quarterback, they're getting 7 figures off the field. And that's just kind of speculated. It could be more. It could be a hefty, hefty cash. And we're already seeing these players in national commercials, in Dr. Pepper commercials, in, you know, insurance commercials. It's not just signing a couple autographs at a local car dealer. This is a big deal. In fact, the Wisconsin quarterback, Graham Mertz, his dad is in advertising and marketing. He more or less built a little small company around his son. And that's not even one of the biggest names in college football. So, I mean, what are you thinking when you look at that, Giannis? Like, as someone who's not quite following college football so closely, now you're going to see some of these players on your TV.
They deserve it. They make so much money for the school. The coaches get paid so much. They deserve it. The only person who I could see being upset about this is Trevor Lawrence, because he was a little too early. He would have got a sweet Pantene shampoo commercial deal.
I hear you. But it's funny. And this is true, you know, for basketball as well. But like my husband who played at Wisconsin and they went to two Final Fours, he always says like he'd look up in the stands and he'd see a bunch of people in the stands wearing his number 15 jersey, but not his name on the back because they couldn't do that. And, you know, here he'd be on his little scholarship check, you know, trying to take a girl out on a date. She probably was a huge loser. A girl out on a date and could hardly pay. No, truly. He told me that. I hate her.
Don't act like you don't know who she is. I know you did the Facebook stalking.
Oh, yeah. No, every good new girlfriend has to do that. So anyway, so it's there are way more extreme stories than that. But I think, like you said, this is right. This makes so much sense. The only issue is it's kind of unregulated and it's the wild, wild west. So, you know, sit tight because this is going to be a storyline all season long. This is going
to
be good.
It's a welcome change. And I'm glad to see a lot of these kids reap some benefits for how much money they make for their programs. It's great.
Absolutely. Well, there are going to be some names you have to know, and I'm going to drill them into your head, Giannis, because you need to know at least some of the Heisman favorites. But before we get to that, there is kind of a joking all names team, which is always very entertaining. And let me just say this right off the bat. This is not poking fun at anyone. This is having fun with them. And I just want to, I sent you the link. Have you opened it?
I have not opened it, but I'll just blame it on COVID. I came across someone who came across someone who was exposed to COVID. I'm still using that excuse.
That's not going to fly here. You've got to help me with this list because it is so good. It's, and a lot of them are nicknames. So these are people who have chosen to go by these names. And the first one I've got to think is a nickname, but I have not verified that. He's a JUCO player at Tyler Junior College. He's a quarterback. And his name is General Booty. Spelled B-O-O-T-Y, General Booty.
General Booty. I love General Booty. He's better than Captain Asshole.
That is better. That is better.
Yeah. General Booty. We gotta expect a lot from General Booty. He's got a, you know, Booty could also be pirate. Pirates get booty. Booty could also be when they raid, they get a lot of booty. So
maybe one day, what if he plays for Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Wouldn't that be appropriate?
That's who should draft him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're thinking like Madison Avenue right now.
Yeah.
And that's the way you got to think. General Booty, he's getting the booty for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for sure.
Okay, I've got a good one. When you think of an offensive lineman, what are some adjectives that come to mind? Like a big, scary, mean offensive lineman?
White? Fat and white.
Well, what you wouldn't say is gentle. And that is the first name of a Cal offensive lineman, Gentle Williams.
Gentle Williams. I like that. That's
sweet.
Yeah. Gentle Williams. I'll just be gentle. That's the opposite of what he is going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? A guy like Gentle Williams with the name Gentle Williams, that's sort of like the Mike Tyson thing. Like Mike Tyson had that voice, you know, he's like, hi, this is Mike Tyson. And so to compensate, he just beat the hell out of everybody. I think Gentle Williams, having that name, got teased so much. He's the guy you're going to want to pick because you know that he overcompensated for having the name Gentle. You know, he's the opposite of gentle.
Here's one of my favorites. He's a linebacker. And I remember hearing this on a game broadcast last year, but I'm seeing it on the list again. Bumper Pool.
I like that. Yeah, Bumper Pool.
He's at Arkansas. Save your jokes. But he's at Arkansas. He's just really glad that his mom didn't marry someone named Carr. So he wasn't Bumper Carr.
Bumper Carr, right.
At North Carolina, we have a defensive back named Storm Duck.
Storm Duck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a comedian, like when you sometimes perform in the South, there's a lot of comedians that have names like Hurricane or Lightning.
Oh,
these are rivaling a lot of those like Southern comedian names. Yep. I love it. Yeah. It just sounds like his parents took two nouns and threw them together. I like that.
Yeah. A couple of their favorite things on the North Carolina coast.
Yeah. They might've just looked to the left, looked to the right. And the first thing they saw, they were just like, that's who we are.
Better than Daffy or Donald Duck.
Yeah. Donald, yeah, that would be
Storm Duck. Okay, this last one sounds like one of your countrymen. He's a UMass punter, and his name is George Georgopoulos.
He is the Greek. Yeah, wow, the Greek names are unmistakable. They sound very much like diseases, like very rare diseases. Like, oh my God, did you get the Giannis Pappas? That's bad.
Ooh, so, where'd you get that? Yikes.
Yeah, you got the Giannis Pappas. That's
untreatable.
It's untreatable. So yeah, his name is as Greek as you. Whenever you see the S at the end and it's more than three syllables, you can pretty much rest assured that that is a Greek kid who comes from a Greek family who celebrates a different Easter than you.
Yep.
And his parents at some point owned a restaurant.
There are so many more names on this list. And obviously people in all walks of life, all around the country have goofy names. But in college football, there seems to be a really high population. So maybe over the college football season, we sprinkle in a couple. What do you think?
I love it. Sprinkle them in.
I do too. I do too. Well, last week was week zero. And if anyone watched the Nebraska-Illinois game, which got a lot of attention because it was week zero. By the way, that's a thing in college football, Giannis. Just ignore it. It's a stupid name. They really need to rebrand that. But there was a really, really bad beat, or it could have been a really great break, depending on what you picked. And this kind of leads me to one of our contests coming up where we're going to do a bad beat of the week. But listen to this. So the Nebraska-Illinois game had a lot going on. It was a new head coach at Illinois, Brett Bielema, who was a great Wisconsin coach, got fired at Arkansas. He's back in the Big Ten. People love this man. I love this man. He's fantastic. Brett Bielema, back at Illinois, wins his first game at Nebraska's expense in the fourth year of their head coach, Scott Frost. So he really could not afford that. Now his record in 4 years at Nebraska is 12-21. I think he has the hottest seat in college football. So the over-under on that game was 52.5. And because it's college football and because there are college kickers out there, they missed two PATs. And the final total was 52, which brings me to a new game we are going to be playing all season. It's called Bad Beat of the Week. And what you do is you submit a bad beat that you had. All you do is go to BetMGM's Twitter, at BetMGM, and on Monday, go ahead and submit your bad beat, either NFL or college, and let us know what it is. We are going to pick who had it the worst this weekend and to reward you for playing and try to make you feel a little bit better, really. We're going to give you $50 credit from BetMGM, and we're always going to announce it on our show and read it out loud. So it's a fun way to get a shout out on the show as well. Make sure you play with us and follow at BetMGM on Twitter. Okay, let's get to this week one and talk betting with Chelsea Messenger. She's the host of The Daily Tip on Odyssey. Let's see what she has to say about week one and playoff picture. Well, week one of college football is upon us, and we bring in the host of The Daily Tip. It's on Odyssey. It's also wherever you find podcasts. I definitely suggest finding that. Chelsea Messenger, thanks so much for joining us, Chelsea.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to talk about college football, to talk about NFL, whatever you guys want to talk about, because it's one of those great times of year where we have baseball, we have college football, and the start of NFL. So I'm really excited.
Absolutely. It is such an exciting week and so much to get to. Let's start with the number one team in the country, Alabama. They went 13-0 last year. They're the reigning national champs, and they kick off the season at number 14, Miami. It's going to be a lot of fun, but this point spread right now is a whopping 18.5 for Bama, and I'm sure that will even climb as we get closer. Chelsea, what do you think of that point spread to start the season off?
Here's the thing, it really looks big, but if you look at Alabama over the course of the years in season openers under Nick Saban, they're 12-2 against the number. In season openers under Nick Saban, so nobody prepares their team better for these season openers than Nick Saban. And that's including some top five teams coming into the rankings. So it's not just pushover teams that they're beating against the number, it is good teams. That being said, if you look over the course of history, the teams that have given Alabama fits have been teams with dual threat quarterbacks. Derek King looking to make another good year for Miami. And you look at those teams that gave Alabama trouble. Cam Newton, Nick Marshall at Auburn, and also Johnny Manziel when he was back at Texas A&M. So I think they have potential to give Alabama some issues here. But looking back at the history, 12-2 against the number, it's hard to fade Alabama.
And it is a neutral site game, and they've won their last 10 neutral site games by an average of 25 points. So yeah, 18 and a half does not scare me away from playing that. But what you said with De'Aaron King and Miami's offense and second year under Rhett Lashley as offensive coordinator, I think Bama's defense is where they win games this year. They return 8 starters, and their offense, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. I think there are a lot of question marks on that side of the ball as they return only 3 starters. Sticking with Alabama, as you look forward, is it a safe national champ bet right there for you?
I just don't think there's any value, because that's the thing when you're looking at futures bets, you want some kind of value, because if you play them right now, I just don't see a whole lot of value. And what are they, plus 250, plus 300 to win it all? I think if you're looking for some value, look at Georgia. And if you like them, play them right now before they play Clemson, because if you think they're a good team, if you think they can beat Clemson, those odds are going to go in half if they beat Clemson in the first game of the season. So when you're playing the futures market, you're looking for number one, value, and number two, a way to kind of hedge your ticket as the season goes on. Because even if you don't win, you can hedge it in ways and still make money.
Yeah, right now, UGA and Ohio State tied at plus 600 at BetMGM. When you look at the 4 playoff teams in general, what would you place in terms of value when you get past Bama and Clemson, let's say? What 2 teams? You mentioned Georgia, but is there anyone else you'd throw in that bet?
I think it's mostly just Georgia for me. When we're talking about college football, there's not a whole lot of parity because it's the college football playoff. You have to be voted in. So it's not like the NFL. It's not like these dark horse teams actually have a shot. We've seen it over the course of years where there's teams like Coastal Carolina, like Cincinnati, that are good teams, but they just don't have the schedule to get in. Maybe somebody from the Pac-12, because I feel like we largely forgot about the Pac-12 last season. So if somebody's good enough from the Pac-12 to get in, maybe that's your answer there. But I don't see it right now.
I want to know, in your opinion, do you feel like that is because of how confusing the bowl system is? Do you think it should be sort of like one big tournament like they have in basketball to crown a national champion?
Absolutely not. Like, it's not the type of sport that lends itself to that, because number one, you just can't play that many games. Even though Mike Leach actually floated this idea, I think he was trying to be funny and saying 64 teams should play. I think at most it should be 6 teams, because I think eventually we will see college football expansion happen. But I don't think it needs to go beyond 6, because usually at the end of the season, there's always maybe 1 or 2 teams that are question marks that maybe they should be in. And I do think maybe they should get a chance. Teams like Cincinnati and teams like Coastal Carolina, it would be a lot of fun. But beyond 6, I don't think there's usually enough good teams to fill a college football playoff.
Yeah, I like a group of 5 team getting in there too. And it seems like right now the conversations about a 12-team playoff are stalling because of the threat of realignment and all the change that's happening in the 2021 season as is. But you see certain conferences coming out, banging their chest. We are in for the 6-game playoff and all this, but it does have to be a unanimous decision. So that is a storyline we are going to be following closely. Now, I've got kind of my sneaky, I don't know if it's a long shot per se, but I have a sneaky playoff pick team, and I want to see if you think I'm ludicrous here. I kind of like Notre Dame. They're plus 700 right now on BetMGM to sneak into the playoff. So I think that's a good value, but there's a lot of question marks for Notre Dame. Am I absolutely crazy? And should I wait till their week 4 game at Wisconsin to see how good they are?
No, I don't think you're crazy, because no one gets more media hype than Notre Dame, even if it's not warranted. We've seen it over the past couple decades where sometimes they're voted in and sometimes they have no business being in the college football playoff, but they've got that track record of, you know, they're a blue blood school, they're a big public team. So I wouldn't talk you off of it just on that alone.
Do you think we're going to be calling them the Fighting Irish, or is it going to change soon to the Notre Dame football team?
I saw that where their mascot was voted offensive, like to who, to leprechauns? Like, I don't know. Like, I need to make sure that I'm watching what I say. I don't want to say anything offensive, but it just seems like that's a bit of a stretch. And I mean, hopefully not. You saw that they issued this long statement almost immediately. So the fact that they're already responding to it, maybe they have some kind of plan in place. I don't know. I don't want to say anything else. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, I think it may be just a little less offensive if they called it the Drinking Irish.
Just lean into it.
Just here's what I do on the show. I just let Yana say the offensive stuff so that I stay clean.
That's all you got to do. It's not me. That's all you got to do.
Yana, would you be offended if there was a team called the Fighting Uzos?
No, not at all. I think it would be fun. I think it should be the Diner Owning Greeks. There should be one called the Diner Owning Greeks.
Did you see where they're mad at Arizona State for being the Sun Devils and somebody wants them to be the Sun Angels?
Oh. Yeah, it's too much.
Like, come on. Like, devils aren't offensive. Like, we know you're not, you know, doing black magic. Like, come right. on.
Well, if yeah. that's the case, then I think Demon Deacons needs a long look as well.
Well, like, Duke's not changing their name. Like, the Duke right. Blue Devils have been there forever. They have such history. Like, they're not changing their name.
Chelsea, as we hone in on the week one matchups, we really only took a deep dive in one because that's the number one team. Everyone's always looking at Bama. But what's another week one matchup that you feel really confident in your play?
Well, let's look at a couple teams that have already played games this mm-hmm. season. And I think that is a huge advantage for teams that played in week zero. And you're looking at UCLA playing LSU. Now there's question marks about LSU because of the hurricane. I think mm-hmm. that's already a tough situation. They had to bus ride to Houston, and I think it turned out being an 11-hour bus ride because of all of the traffic. So already tough circumstances for LSU, but I think this is a really good UCLA team under Chip Kelly, who finally has all of his recruits. This is his fourth season at UCLA. They're coming off a huge win at Hawaii, which it's Hawaii. They look terrible, but Zach Charbonnet looked incredible at the running back position, piling up 106 yards and three touchdowns. Granted, the linemen he's going at LSU are going to be a lot bigger. LSU has the third biggest lineman core in the country. They're big guys. But I think LSU can cover the number here. I think it's 3.5. I like UCLA at home to cover this number against LSU.
That's a good one. I feel like UCLA just got a lot of momentum boost, though, and Chip Kelly needed that win. We look also at Nebraska. That's another year four head coach who needed a win as Scott Frost loses his week zero meeting at Illinois against Illinois and Brett Bielema there. As you look ahead in the Big Ten, then, do you see some of those win totals looking a little sneaky after that game?
I think the play was Illinois over 3.5 wins. Now you can't get it. I think that was the easiest one on the schedule. Obviously, you know, hindsight's 2020. I haven't really dove into any of the win totals for the Big Ten, though. So it would be like, I'm not going to give out a play that I'm not personally playing. I think Indiana maybe could surprise some people. They lose a lot of people from that squad, but they do have Michael Penix Jr. coming back, a dual threat quarterback that gave Ohio State the business. Oh, as I say that out loud, I probably shouldn't have said it in that phrasing, but you get what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. Like, he gave them all they could handle, and he's a good quarterback. So in a game where quarterback truly means a lot, when you have a guy like that can make plays with his feet and really keep defenses off balance, I think that is a big factor.
I'm just offended that you didn't refer to it as the Ohio State. That's the proper...
Oh, my goodness. People are going to be mad about everything, so it's fine. They can be mad. They can be mad and then get their next conference title in a row. It's fine. It's always smooth sailing for Ohio State. I don't like it. I'm ready for that conference realignment where they have to play good teams. I would love to see, what was that, the Super Conference, where they play like a team from the Pac-12 and a team from the ACC. I would love to see it just for a viewing experience, but I'm not sure if it's truly going to happen.
I'm with you, Chelsea. I think that's good for college football, is having them play 8 conference games and 2 out of conference. Because then you have matchups like Ohio State, Clemson in the regular season. How great would that be? I mean, I think it's good for the sport.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as a sports fan, that's what we all want. It's not about the kids. It's about us.
Absolutely.
I was just saying, I would like to see Division I teams play Division III teams. Just a good beatdown to watch. Maybe like,
well, have you seen Alabama versus the Citadel? Like, that's what that is, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see them play SUNY Albany.
You can catch Chelsea Messenger on The Daily Tip on Odyssey. Make sure you check it out. I hope to join you throughout the season as well, Chelsea. It's awesome talking with you. Thanks for your good advice.
Thanks for having me, and hopefully none of us are canceled after this.
Guys, it is week one coming up right now. Everybody is doing their fantasy football draft, so we have brought in, what do you want to go with? Matt, I like Maddie. Maddie Miller, our fantasy football expert. I guess your friends call you Maddie, your mom calls you Matt, right? Or Matthew.
It's everything. You know, I get called a little bit of everything. So I answer to, if I feel like people are asking a football question, I just start answering like, oh, okay, yeah, my turn to jump in. So I appreciate you guys having me on today, though.
Absolutely, Matt. Let me and Olivia know, who are the top picks that you see this year that people need to have on their fantasy teams right off the bat? Let's start with the must, the perennial all-stars, and go all the way down to the, and I don't want to say down, I don't mean down, because sleepers usually are what make the difference between winners and losers. But let's start with the sure fire picks you have to have.
Yeah, I mean, I think for anyone who's been in a fantasy league before, or even people who are just getting into it, the most important thing is the running back position. And, you know, when I started in this business 11 years ago, there were 18 or 19 running backs every year who would rush for 1,000 yards. That has changed. And we only saw 8 running backs last year go for 1,000 yards, 9 if you include Lamar Jackson in there at the quarterback position. So it's very valuable, whether you're in a PPR, which is points per reception league, or not, you really need to get that running back first. So I just went through my fantasy draft with my friends from high school and college that is super competitive, and running backs went off the board early and often. And my strategy was, not only do I want to get 2 very early, I actually wanted to get 3 very early, because this year we have to worry about an increased schedule. We have to worry about COVID, and you have to worry about, you know, just the wear and tear of that spot. So I think getting 2, even 3 running backs early is important. So Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara are the names that are probably going to come off the board earliest. I'm still a believer in Ezekiel Elliott with Dak Prescott back in Dallas. It just seems like their offense will be back clicking like we've seen it in the past. So outside of the top 3 guys who will most likely be the top 3 picks in any draft, I do think Zeke has a lot of, I guess you can call it sleeper value. It's still round 1, but someone who's probably being overlooked right now.
I don't play fantasy football, but if I did, your league would probably be one of the top ones I would not want to join. Why do your friends play against you?
You know, I actually lost last year. Wow. And I think that's why my friends play with me, because they want that bragging rights. Like last year, my younger brother beat me, and I've heard about it for, you know, 8 months now. And so, and I had drafted a juggernaut, right? But injuries happen. And I think that's why fantasy football is fun, because you can be in a league with people who are quote unquote experts. If their quarterback gets hurt, it really doesn't matter. And that's what happened to me last year. Lamar Jackson got COVID. There was like 2 or 3 weeks where I was really slowed down by that point wise. And so some people were able to overtake me. I think I finished 3rd. I don't want to make it sound like I did terrible or anything. I still was up there.
And Matt, I noticed you didn't mention Derrick Henry. He's led the NFL in rushing the last 2 seasons, and with a 17th game this year, could even set a new rushing record. Why not mention him?
Yeah, Olivia, what scares me with the Titans right now is so many of their players are out with COVID. And, you know, obviously we know that's going to be a short-term scenario or situation, but it seems like they're one of the teams that doesn't really have a handle on this right now. So I also think with the addition of Julio Jones, we might see them throw the ball a little bit more. Arthur Smith, their former offensive coordinator, is now in Atlanta. So I do think we could see some changes. Derrick Henry is still a workhorse back who should be a top 6 or 7 pick. I think what makes him interesting is he's not going to catch the ball very often. Mm-hmm. So if you're in one of these leagues where you are getting points per reception, someone like Christian McCaffrey, who will have less rushing yards than Derrick Henry, but catch 100 passes, is incredibly valuable. And that's why even Nick Chubb is the starting running back for the Cleveland Browns. His backup, Kareem Hunt, is going to catch more passes. So their value might actually be equal. So you have to look at it not just Derrick Henry is going to rush for 2,000 yards. He's going to have 20 touchdowns. That is amazing. But there are backs who will rush for fewer yards who are actually more valuable when it comes to fantasy.
So if a lot of those guys are not available, who are some of the big sleepers? Is it Antonio Gibson? Who are some of the big running back sleepers that you would pick?
Yeah, Antonio Gibson is a huge one. And we've seen the Washington football team even make some moves with their depth chart that indicates he's going to just be the guy there who's going to get the lion's share of those carries. I think Austin Eckler with the LA Chargers is someone who fantasy football players know a lot about, but where the casual fan is probably like, who? But Austin Eckler is incredibly valuable. He's a top 10 running back when it comes to fantasy football. So he's definitely someone that you might be able to steal from your casual fan friends in this league who are, they're probably going to focus more on the household commodities like a Joe Nixon or Josh Jacobs, you know, players who they've heard of who were earlier draft picks in the actual NFL draft. But I do think Austin Eckler, you mentioned Antonio Gibson, 2 very good examples of players who were not early picks in the actual NFL draft. And they're playing for teams that haven't had super amounts of success. So they're still flying under the radar.
Now, we actually had Austin Eckler on the show. If people want to go back and listen to that, it was a great episode in the offseason. But I saw on Twitter that he's giving away signed jerseys to everyone who wins with him in their fantasy draft. And that just doesn't seem fair. Are a lot of players doing that? I just saw Austin.
He's the only one I've seen do that. And I didn't know that, Olivia, which is good because I did draft him.
Okay.
So I'm very excited about that. And hopefully I need that for my office, right?
So absolutely.
But I love the players who do engage with that. You know, we've seen over the years an attitude shift in the NFL with first open to fantasy, now more open to betting. And I think the players are wisely getting involved with that of saying, hey, I want you to draft me. Whereas before it was like, I don't care about your fantasy team. Now these players, whether it's Austin Eckler or Juju Smith-Schuster, they're really starting to embrace that. And I think it's smart, not only for their own personal brand, but it makes it so much more fun too.
All right, let's go over wide receivers. Take me down the list.
Yeah, at wide receiver, this is one that it's so almost situational, but I think the list starts with Devontae Adams in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is back. He's going to be the guy there. And I tend to favor wide receivers like this where they don't have a great running mate next to them. I say that to say that Tyreek Hill is probably next, even though he has Travis Kelce there in Kansas City. And as far as the tight ends go, if you look at this as just pass catchers, not by position, Travis Kelce might be the most valuable pass catcher in all of football when it comes to fantasy points. So I think Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, even though he's battling an injury right now, and then an up-and-comer, Calvin Ridley in Atlanta, is going to see a ton of targets. He's going to see a ton of catches, maybe the best route runner in all of football. Those would be my top five if I were targeting a wide receiver. But keep an eye on those tight ends, because whether it's Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller, they have a ton of value as pure pass catchers, where if you don't get an elite wide receiver, you can still get a ton of points by getting one of these elite tight ends.
What about Odell Beckham Jr.? I feel like that could be a real good sleeper. Do you think this is the season he settles in and goes for big numbers?
I think that's possible. I know that their plan for him is that he's the guy. He's the guy they're going to try to, you know, push the catches to. I think what you have to worry about is injuries. You know, there's sayings that once players have, you know, an injury history, it's very hard to overcome that. And with Odell, as great as he's been, we've seen him injured in more seasons than we haven't. So I think you have to be cautious there. He's not a first round pick. He's not a second round pick. But in rounds 3 through 5, the value could absolutely be there as you start to look at a player who could be a solid wide receiver number 2 for you, or even a wide receiver 3, depending on how the rosters in your league work.
When we look at Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, who we talk about a lot in the rookie of the year category here on this show, it's not favored to go to a tight end, but if he has an incredible season, it obviously could. Is he in your periphery at all when you're looking at tight ends? He's been playing well in the preseason. He had a 27-yard pass catch the other day.
Yeah, he has to be on your radar. And he was as a draft prospect. He definitely is as a fantasy prospect. I think a lot of people will be scared off because rookie tight ends generally don't produce that well. But let's just all agree that Kyle Pitts is not your average rookie tight end. I mean, we have never seen an athlete like this at the tight end position. And going into an offense that you already have an established quarterback, you have a very good wide receiver in Calvin Ridley, and we know they're going to throw the ball a lot down there. So I think that's where Kyle Pitts becomes a really intriguing option, where he might not have 80 targets this year, but in the red zone where Calvin Ridley's not the biggest wide receiver, I think that's where you get really excited about Kyle's potential to have 8 to 12 touchdowns, because he is able to be such a mismatch player in the red zone, which is what we saw at Florida and the reason why he was, you know, the highest tight end drafted in modern history.
And no Julio Jones either.
Right. So somebody's got to catch the ball in the red zone. Yeah.
Somebody has it. Not that Julio is doing much of it lately, but Kyle Pitts should.
Exactly.
How about QBs?
Yeah, quarterback. I think that's the one position where the guys who are good, like if you were to sit around with your buddies in a bar and be like, hey, who's the best quarterback in the NFL? That's also the best quarterback for fantasy football. It's Patrick Mahomes, and is really not close when it comes to fantasy. I think one thing to remember, again, if you're new to this or if you haven't been doing well and you want to change up your strategy, my strategy with the quarterback position is I got to find somebody who can get me some points on the ground as well as a runner. And that's really the direction we've seen the NFL go. So a player like Josh Allen is actually more valuable than Aaron Rodgers. A player like Lamar Jackson might be more valuable than Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers because of what they're going to give you on the ground. So something to think about there is players like those two, but also Kyler Murray, even though he has had his struggles with turnovers, very productive on the ground. Dak Prescott in his return, going to give you quite a bit of production on the ground. Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, the players who can add something as rushers, especially in the red zone, are the guys that you really want to be looking at when it comes to the quarterback position. My best advice, though, is don't rush the quarterback. Don't be that person who takes a quarterback in round one unless your league scoring is incredibly skewed toward that position.
Great advice with the running. All right, Maddie, I got to ask you, do you think we've arrived where you can use Bitcoin to bet in your league yet?
Maybe. I don't know. No one in my league can afford it. If you can get in a league where you can do that, let's do it, right? Somebody float me a buy-in. I want it.
You just have to remember your password.
Right.
Well, thank you, Maddie Miller. Really appreciate all the advice, man. If you don't listen to Maddie, you're going to lose. That was really good advice, especially at that QB position. Last question, Saquon, you were talking about coming off injuries. Is he going to have a big year and put up big numbers if you draft him?
I don't think so. I worry so much about that offensive line. I worry so much about Daniel Jones, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, once again, we're going to see everyone scheme to stop Saquon, which is what they've done in the past. And with all the trouble they've had in that offensive line, I love Saquon, but I just don't know how you can really, truly believe in him right now as a top fantasy back.
That's a great little nugget for everybody. Thank you so much, Maddie Miller. We appreciate you giving us your wisdom, and I hope you win your league.
Me too. Hey. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Hey, can you see if your younger brother can hop on next? We'd like to pick his brain too.
I'll let him know. Yeah, I'll let him know that since he beat me, y'all will be asking for his advice next.
Every week we finish off our show with Peter Andrew from BetMGM, and he gives us our Lions lock. But Pete, we're going to change things up a little bit for this NFL season with a little game. Seems a little maniacal to me, but here are the basic rules. Every week you're going to pick three NFL games, and Giannis and I are going to compete against each other with our picks. I think we're going to make it super simple. Money line, favorite, underdog. And I'm a little nervous because at the end of the season around the Super Bowl, we are going to tally up the winner, and one of us is going to have to do something they don't want to do.
Well, I can be paid off since I'm 7-0 in the preseason now. So if you need a little extra insight, you know how to find.
Do you take Bitcoin?
I only take Bitcoin.
Got it. Okay. How about Giannis coin? I invented my own currency.
I haven't seen it on Coinbase yet, but I'll give it a shot.
Hey, before we get to college football week one and some of the lines there, as we record this Tuesday morning, the news just broke. The Patriots waived Cam Newton. So maybe by Thursday he'll have a home when this airs. But what are your thoughts on that move? And what do you think about Mac Jones as the starting QB?
It was a bit of a surprise to me, like I think most people. But Belichick, I think he's got something in this guy. I think he's looking like a Tom Brady. Definitely based off his college picture with the flabby fat in the cigar in the mouth, kind of like Tom Brady's picture from 15, 20 years ago.
Hey, we don't body shame on this podcast. We do not body shame.
For me, of all people to say that too. but sorry, Mac Jones, I know you're listening here. Some great, crazy line changes over the course of the last 12 hours. So some funny ones first. NFL MVP. He was plus 25,000, so 250-1. Mm. It went to plus 8,000, so 80-1.
Wow.
So big, big difference there. I don't think he's going to get MVP, but an interesting one. Offensive rookie of the year from plus 1,200 to plus 500. That one's a little bit more feasible. Most passing yards from plus 20,000 to plus 5,000. So assuming he plays a full season, I mean, there's a legitimate shot there. They're going to throw the ball. Most passing TDs and then most interceptions as well. So lots of different big line movements. All of them stayed pretty similar in terms of what it was and to what it is now. But he's the guy. I thought for a second this morning that maybe they had a move for Deshaun Watson coming in. Maybe that was the way that you get Mac Jones acclimated. You give Deshaun a year, see what happens with all the allegations. But seems like Mac's the guy.
And where do you think Cam may end up? And how will that change things?
Yeah, so speaking of the Texans, I could see Cam going to Houston. Who knows what's going to happen with Deshaun? It seems like they have a decision to make by 4 o'clock today, which is a couple hours from now. Do they put him on the 53-man roster? Do they say, we're going to pay you, but we're going to pay you to sit on the bench? And then what happens from there? Do they opt to do that? And who do they bring in as quarterback? So could see Cam going in a one-year deal, something, $2 to $5 million, a lot of performance incentives, and maybe he's the guy.
Okay, good stuff. Again, by Thursday, the time this airs, we may have an answer. Let's get to college football. Week one, I am so pumped. I just filled in Giannis on what even is going on in college football. So we are all caught up. We are all ready. One of the best games is actually at noon on Saturday in the Big Ten. It's 19 Penn State at 12 Wisconsin. The Badgers are a 5-point favorite. Over-under is 50. What would you play here?
Yeah, so I'm going Penn State plus 5. I lean them with the points. They're pretty unimpressive against the spread as of recent, especially conference road dogs. But I think they could surprise some people. So I think they make a decent splash in the Big Ten this year. I certainly take them with the points. Maybe they don't win outright, but I think they keep it close and maybe it's a field goal game.
We talked with Chelsea earlier about number one Alabama at 14 Miami. That is a neutral site game, by the way. And Alabama has won their last 19 season openers at 18.5. Right now, would you take Bama? And I'm sure that's only going to get higher as we get closer to kickoff.
Yeah, they're going to win again. I love Miami. I love De'Aaron King. But I do like plus 18.5. Alabama will win the game. But I think they keep it within 2 touchdowns. It's just really high spread. And it's a really interesting game for De'Aaron King, for Bryce Young, and 2 Heisman hopefuls. I think there's a lot at stake, not only for week one, but certainly for them to kind of carve their way through the year and potentially be Heisman candidates.
And then Saturday night, my alma mater, number 5, Georgia, and number 3, Clemson. They kick off at Bank of America Stadium. That's where the Panthers play. That's going to be a good one. Clemson is the 3-point favorite. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not just pandering to you here, but I love Georgia. I love Georgia plus 3, and I also will sprinkle a little bit money line. I think they're plus 120 right now. I'm a big JT Daniels guy. I think Clemson has lost a ton of production, predominantly on offense this year. And I think Georgia's bringing back a lot of really, really solid pieces. So I do like him plus 3. And like I said, I will put a little bit on the money line as well.
I wish I had an alma mater. Maybe that's why I'm not so into college football. You got Georgia, you know, what are the chances the American University gets a football team? I mean, we're a mid-major in basketball. We need a bad football team.
Well, I'm the same way. I'm a St. John's guy. So we didn't have a football team. So I just picked someone I loved. That Miami team was just all over the place in the late 90s, early 2000s. I was like, why not ride with them?
Well, you know what? I'm picking Georgia. I am going with this year. I'm rooting for the Toronto Raptors and my co-host's alma mater, the Georgia Bulldogs.
I love it. I love it. I paid him in Bitcoin to say that too. Peter Andrew, thank you so much. Those are, I think, the 3 top games, in my humble opinion, for the weekend. There's so much more. And people, don't forget, there's actually a game Sunday and Monday as well, because this is the last week before NFL. College football is on center stage, and we are so excited. Peter, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what a show that was, Olivia. That looks like all the time we have. I just want to say thank you to both Matt and, do I get this right, Chelsea?
You got it. Now you just got to work on Jimmy Garofalo.
Yeah, Jamie Garofalo, and a bunch of the names that we had, some wild new names, and we'll continue that throughout the season. I hope you find some more.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Thank you to those guys for coming on the show. Next week, of course, is all about NFL week one. So it's so close, and we'll have Hall of Famer Kurt Warner to discuss who he likes this season and his story. We'll talk about the movie that's coming out, which we're all excited to see. So it was just a great show, and I look forward to next week. I can't wait to talk to Kurt.
Yeah, next week's going to be awesome talking to Kurt. And Giannis, I want you to start thinking of who would play us in a movie for next week. I know I have some opinions, but I can't wait to hear who you cast.
Mine's simple. I mean, we know mine already, right?
John Stamos.
John Stamos, of course.
Well, we're also going to ask social media too. So check it out on my Twitter. I'll put that question out there. I'm just at Olivia Decker on Twitter. And don't forget to go to BetMGM on Twitter Monday. And that's where you can place your bad beat. And we'll announce the winning bad beat next week. And that person will get $50. So that's pretty sweet. And also, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We're going to pick 3 winners to win $500 for BetMGM. And this week, for week one of college football, BetMGM is doing a risk-free token up to $25 on any college football game, and that can be applied towards any bet. So that is huge. So a lot to keep up with. If you're curious where to start, just follow BetMGM everywhere and listen to us wherever you find your podcasts. We'll see you next week.